Good afternoon. I thought we'd all start today with a breathing exercise that we do at the pain clinic. And if you'll all bear with me, I'll step aside from the mic. Those who are comfortable, probably some people in the room are experts and some people are here just learning what CAM is. But if you want to put your hand on your chest and your hand on your belly, and we're just going to take some deep breaths in. So we're going to, you can close your eyes if you like. And we're just going to breathe in through our nose and out through your mouth. And we'll do one more. In through your nose and be aware of your chest rising and out through your mouth. I want you to feel your shoulders relax and in through your nose again. And out through your mouth and feel your belly. Okay, we can open our eyes now. So we start our pain clinic this way, and I thought I'd start this because it puts us in touch with what underlies our intervention and also what underlies the statistic data analysis that I did for the intervention. And that is that multiple predisposing and extenuating factors play a role in the experience of pain. So biological, psychological, and social. And I think we all know this intrinsically. We came here rushing from all of our different talks. We were presenting, we're stressed, or we're stimulated from what we've heard. Our minds are racing. We've been running up and down stairs, eating weird food, sleeping at different hotels, so we're in a different social environment. And we just took a breath and we felt our shoulders and our stomachs, and perhaps we're just in a biological state that's maybe different than we normally are, but we can tell how our psychological and our social state can affect our biological state. So that's the essence of why we're here. I'm Megan Windsor-Lovely, as she said, and my role at Unity Pain Clinic has been that I worked with them for 6 months helping implement the pain clinic, and I also designed their music therapy, having a music background, sessions, and I also did the statistical analysis for my master's in public health thesis, which I'll share with you today. Let's see if I can get this to click. That's our disclosure. So here we are at Unity Healthcare. It's a private, not-for-profit network of federally qualified community health centers, so I can get that out. And it serves Washington, D.C. here, and it serves the underserved. That's basically those who are uninsured, underinsured, tends to be a lot of immigrants. The network is throughout the city. It's actually the largest federally qualified health center network in the country. Sees 80,000 patients and provides 200,000 visits annually. And the pain clinic was started at Upper Cardozo Health Center, which is the largest of the network, and it sees 17,000 patients and approximately 80,000 visits are provided. Our patient base is largely immigrant and Latino. We have 43% are Latino, 29% are African American, and we see a variety of other minorities. It's an area, it serves Ward 1 in DC, and it's an area that's actually gentrifying right now. So we have a large mix of socioeconomic status of the population, but this was here originally when most of Ward 1 was low SES. So, okay. So it was Dr. Eleni O'Donovan and Jessica Wallace, a physician assistant, and a nurse, Ray Johnson, who started the pain clinic. So what is chronic pain? The Institute of Medicine adopted the definition from the International Association of Study for Pain, and their definition is this. It is an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, and pain is always subjective. It is unquestionably a sensation in a part or parts of the body, but it is always also unpleasant and therefore also an emotional experience. So as we have already talked about, it's both physiological and psychological, and it's a subjective experience. So that makes measuring it difficult. It's measured by self-report. There's no clear biological markers to measure it. We have heart rate. We have potentially cortisol levels. But our data analysis is based on self-report. There are three types of chronic pain. There's acute, and that lasts. That comes on suddenly, lasts a short time, and is usually linked to a specific injury or illness. Recurrent pain is the second type, and that's episodes of acute pain, and that's seen in diseases like migraines or sickle cell, where you have these recurrent bouts of pain. And then lastly, there's chronic pain, and by definition, that's any pain that lasts 3 to 6 months or more. And the Unity Healthcare provides the pain clinic for those who are experiencing recurrent or chronic pain. So we see patients who have things like arthritis, low back pain, sickle cell, fibromyalgia, and some trauma, some post-surgical pain, headaches, migraines, and diabetic neuropathy. So chronic pain is a large public health issue. The Institute of Medicine just finished a report in June of 2011 that came up with some of this data for us. It affects 116 million Americans, and its cost is analyzed as $560 to $635 billion a year. Now, some of that is considered medical expenditures for those in chronic pain or those treating chronic pain, and some of that comes from the $11 to $13 billion is lost productivity. Lost productivity means your inability to go to work or your lack of quality or decreased quality when you're at work. So that could be, I don't think it's including lost wages. I think it's talking about lost productivity as measured in dollars by companies who are losing workers or have workers who aren't able to do what they're hired to do. And also the report states that we have racial and ethnic minorities that are at high risk for pain, and there's a lot of accounts in the literature of racial and ethnic minorities being undertreated for pain. That means if you are of a minority and things like if you walk into the ER with a broken long bone, you might get less pain treatment than somebody who is not in the minority. So there's lots of literature out there on that. So, chronic pain at Unity. An in-house evaluation analyzed six of the largest of their sites, and they did a top 10 diagnosis, and pain in soft tissue was ranked 5 out of 10. It's a very frustrating thing for providers to be able to treat. Again, it's there's no biological markers, it's self-report, and it's very frustrating for the patients who are in chronic pain because they just keep coming back to the provider saying, this isn't working. And so the providers, Eleni O'Donovan and Jessica Wallace and Ray Johnson, decided to put together, they all have backgrounds in CAM techniques. One of them's a yoga instructor, another's a massage therapist, and they decided to design an intervention to do something more for these patients. We've collected some comments on our surveys, and these are from the patients. These are quotes saying, when you're hurting, you're inward. Pain is in my heart, not like a heart attack, but when I feel alone. So these patients are often isolated by their pain. Their normal support systems are frustrated too, like their family members. They're tired of the people being in pain. They're tired of the issues not going away. And they're tired of the person not being able to function in the family system like they normally do. So often they are isolated. And in our patient population, they are already marginalized, being low SES, low educated, and underserved in general. So, also, I wanted to say that in the Institute of Medicine really pointed out that there are great gaps in the literature for pain and treatment of pain, but there's also gaps in the literature for that for minorities. So the intervention and the data analysis contributes to a recommendation for more of that. So our intervention is a chronic pain clinic, and it's a two-hour session, and they teach pain management skills and education in CAM techniques, as well as they have a time for group sharing and social support. So they really felt that the social support was one thing that these patients really needed. It meets twice a month, and you're referred to the pain clinic by a provider, or if you're at the clinic for other reasons, then you can self-refer. There's posters and everything up around the clinic, advertising the clinic, the pain clinic. And this center here also houses things like WIC, so there's patients that are coming off the street for other reasons that might see this and be able to go. As long as you have a certain type of health insurance, you can go. So every time a patient goes, they fill out a pre-survey and a post-survey, and this is what we use to do the data analysis. And the intervention uses the group visit model. And that basically is every time a person comes, they're going to see a provider. And they'll have a low complexity billing for that. And then a provider also runs each session. And so that makes it a sustainable program and is how it is financed. So these are some of the CAM techniques that we used. You can see they're multiple and different. It's very loosely organized. We'll rotate these. So we'll have yoga 1 week, and then the next session we'll have music therapy. The next one will be mindful eating. And then we'll rotate them throughout the year. So I was involved in designing the music therapy sessions, and I did that once in the spring and then once in the fall. And for that one, we basically talked, it was more educational and a little bit of practice, but talked about how we could become more aware of how music affects our bodies biologically. Music can affect our heart rates and cortisol levels, and how we can use that as a tool to help us cope during the day. It can give us energy, it can help us relax, helps us worship, things like that. A lot of the families that visit this healthcare center were from war-torn countries. We have a lot of people with existing trauma from there, both physiological and emotional. So we had a session with the in-house psychiatrist that ran PTSD, anxiety, depression, kind of awareness education session. And the one that I find interesting is the laugh therapy. Apparently that was awesome, but I wasn't at that one. So you can see the range. It makes analyzing the data a little bit limited because not every person's going to come to every session and not every person's going to get the same intervention. But this actually works well for Unity Healthcare because it allows people to come on an ongoing basis. So you don't just come, here's your treatment, you're going to come for 6 weeks to the pain clinic. This is an ongoing thing that they can come to as many times as they like, and that sort of helps develop that social support network for them. So we did an analysis of the data from September 2010 to May 2011. We had a total of 17 sessions, and 60 individuals frequented the pain clinic over that time period. And an individual, the average time they would come would be about 3 sessions, so not everybody came all 17. I think the highest was about 15 that people came. And the average amount of people in a group would be about 11, and that was really good. It was conducive for good group sharing. One of the things I did was I analyzed, because we have this sort of not everybody coming every time, I analyzed everybody's first session. This gave us the baseline data, like how are these people doing when they first walk into the pain clinic. And we see that they're in a lot of pain, and the pain's not going away. And one of the things we see is that their medications that they are on isn't really helping. So their average pain was measured on a Likert scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the worst pain you've ever been in. And these people, on average, are a 6 out of 10 walking through the door. Some of their answers as well are how has your pain been in the last 24 hours or the last week? And again, it's a 6 or a 7 out of 10. So these people are in a lot of pain. And then the average was 33% of the people coming felt that they were getting some relief from their pain, from medicine. So obviously something needed, something else needed to be done. We did do qualitative data, so every time someone came, they had an opportunity to write comments on their survey. And so I collected some of these and wanted to share them with you, but they're, I didn't statistically analyze them. But one of the things that happens with the pain clinic, if you come to three of these group sessions, you can get a free massage. So this is one lady from after having her massage. She said, brought life back into my body, brought humanness back into my life. Another lady said, we are sharing pain and you can feel a little bit of relief because there are others worse than you. And I think she means that, like, it puts it in perspective for her to come and share and see how others are doing. And another said, you get to throw your pain out to share it and not feel so alone. And a lot of these people aren't being... they're just not able to share it with anybody else, so this gives them a real sense of support. Another thing that I thought was really special is that we have so many different minorities represented at the clinic and a lot of non-English speakers, so again, primarily Latino, so the whole clinic was run in both English and Spanish. And sometimes Amharic as well, depended on the translators that we had. So everything that was said was translated. If somebody came in and said, I'm having a really awful day, I just had a fight with my husband, that was translated into Spanish and English. And what I thought was really special is that it worked. People were having a sense of bonding, even though they didn't speak the same language. They were a different age, and they came from a totally different culture. And that's pretty special. So they were able to do that. So we did a three-part statistical analysis. Again, it's a small group, and it's not a randomized control trial. We don't have a control group to compare to. So this is preliminary data that they can use, and that they'll be able to go from there. Again, it's ongoing, so the more surveys they collect, the more they can do with that data. They might be able to use a control group, or they'll have a bigger sample size. The first thing that I did was I looked at everybody's first session that they came to, and again, it's a different day, so again, it's limited in that they're not all getting the same intervention, so when I measure it, it's limited by that. But so person A came in September and got yoga, and person B came in December and got music therapy. But we're seeing, in general, how does this a pain clinic do with people's pain levels and stress levels. We measured both pain and stress on the Likert scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst. And what we found was, so pre-test was when they first walked in, and post-test was when they left after their first session. And we found that there was a significantly decrease in pain scores, statistically significant. And there was also in stress scores. So we ran it with a paired t-test, and we also did, because it's a small number, it was 60 total, we ran it with the Wilcoxon sign ranks. So for the pain, it was right on the border. Running it with the paired t-test, it was statistically significant. With the Wilcoxon sign ranks, it was not. But again, it shows a good trend. And then for stress, it was both. Both tests were statistically significant. And we also did an effect size. So for the pain, it was a moderate effect size, and for the stress, it was a large effect size. So we're excited by that. This might also reflect that when people first come in, they're in their greatest pain. So we saw a nice big difference. So then we wanted to get a sense of longitudinality, and again, it's difficult to get. We have a small sample size, so what we did, and no control group. So what we did is we compared groups individuals' pain and stress scores as a function of how many times they visited the clinic. So we divided them up into three groups, and the first one was people who only came once. We had 23 of our 60 only came once. And then group two was anyone that came 2 to 8 times. Group three is anyone that came more than 9 times. And we wanted to see, is their pain and scores changing based on how many times they came? Again, we had small numbers, so we ran a non-parametric test. We used Kruskal-Wallis. And if you can look down at group two, and you look over a mean rank, it's not a mean, it's a mean rank for non-parametric, but their pain score was 30.14. That was their average. That was the largest pain score versus group three, who attended the most. That was 18.94. That was the smallest. So it's a mixed trend. We're seeing people who came a medium amount of times have the largest pain scores in the end, and people who came the most have the smallest. And we're going to see that same trend in everything else I analyzed. And what we're looking at possibly is that people who come more often are in more pain. So their pain scores are going to be higher. People who came once, maybe they're not in so much pain, or they're not impeded by their pain. Their function's okay. And so the group two has a higher pain score. Now group three, maybe we are seeing an effect that the more you do come, 9 times or more, you are being helped in your pain and your stress scores by coming, because it always had the lowest. Again, these ones were not statistically significant, but we're seeing a trend, and that's exciting. And these are preliminary, and they're going to continue collecting data as they go. So here's the stress. We did the same thing, and we saw the same trend. So we have our medium group, medium frequency, have the highest pain scores, and our highest attenders have the lowest stress scores. Now, for the third part of the analysis, we were really trying to do some longitudinality. So we're trying to look over time. Say somebody started coming in September, and they're still coming in May. Are they getting helped over time? So we looked at, we had to get rid of the people that only came once, because you can't measure them over time. And we measured anyone that came 2 or more sessions. Again, we divided them up in frequency. So group one would be people who only came twice, and then people who came a medium amount of time, and people who came the most. Again, we saw the same trends. Actually, in pain, we saw it nicely trending. The smallest change for people who only came twice, a medium change in pain for people who came a medium amount of time, and the largest change for people who came the most amount of time. So that was the only one where we got a really even and not mixed trend. And when we see with the stress, we're seeing that other mixed trend. But again, we're excited by the trends, and we hope to keep analyzing it. And that just explains the trends that I just said. So in conclusion, it's a very popular program at Unity Healthcare. The staff and the patients are satisfied, excited by this. We've sort of resolved that frustration. And it integrates the group visit model that I explained before into a primary care practice for the underserved. So it's a unique that we're being able to do this in primary care and for this patient base. It's sustainable through reimbursement, and again, like I said, we're seeing positive healthcare trends. So we'll take questions, I think, at the end. Thank you.